Start up like this, or like this, and hit the start button to flip back and forth. You can make the important things big, keep the small stuff small, and arrange it all around you. You can be all work, all play, or even both at the same time. You can do it all simpler and easier on your Windows tablet, PC, or Surface. That's the new Windows. One experience for everything in your life.
I'm Stacey Mulcahy. I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft, and I'm based out of New York City. And one of the benefits of working in New York City is we get to be working with a lot of indie game developers. And so today, I'm joined by Golden Ruby Games, who have put out a new game, new to the Windows store, and we're going to be talking about Worm Run. So I'd like to introduce Andy and Mike.
Hi, guys.
can each of you... let us know what your role is in terms of Golden Ruby Games, and you know, if this is a side project for you, if this is a full-time thing for you, and how this collaboration came together.
Well, Golden Ruby Games is just us right here in New York. We started about 2 years ago. We just really wanted to make games, so this is really our full-time job. Worm Run started as an iOS project. It was a Kickstarter, actually, and we reached our goal, so that was really great. And then we had a really good friend help us with the art, Nick Chinguagrani, and then we had a lot of other help outside, for sound and design and stuff, but Andy was the main programmer and, made it all work, and I helped with design and kind of just did the business side of stuff as well. We released for iOS, and then, we got everywhere on that, and then we, decided to convert it over to Unity so we could promote it on all the other apps, and then that's how we kind of, got in with Windows. And so we recently released on the Windows Store, and it's been good ever since.
So if you had to give a description, if you're like in an elevator and had to give like a one sentence description of what the game is, what would it be?
Worm Run is a procedurally generated endless runner where you have to platform your way away from a giant space worm.
Who came up with the idea for a space worm?
I don't really remember. Our design process is really kind of fueled with coffee and late nights. So I think, it's definitely, we wanted to do an endless runner for sure. And every single endless runner has something either chasing you or preventing you from getting, further. And so we just thought of something like this giant monster coming down the pathway trying to eat you. And, we're big sci-fi fans, so, why not take inspirations from Dune or Tremors or something like that. And so that thing, and then, Nick, our artist, was just perfect for that. So he made both a cuddly and terrifying monster at the same time. So
I think it was also, most runners just kind of exist on this flat surface, and we knew that ours had all these platforming elements, so there's all blocks and things in your way. So we knew we wanted whatever chasing you to be able to destroy those as it went through them. So that kind of lends itself very nicely to a monster.
Yeah.
And a worm lends itself to not having to animate legs.
That is true, too.
I never thought of that. That's awesome. you talked about porting this from iOS and then starting to use Unity. So before that, did you know any Unity, any C#? Was that something you just picked up and had no idea, or was it something you had experience in?
I had some experience. I had actually done my graduate thesis in Unity, but it wasn't something I was, extremely familiar with.
And so how did you find that process? Was it one of those things where it went fairly quick, or was there a lot of pain points along the way?
No, it wasn't instant or anything, because the language I had written it in originally just has a totally different paradigm from Unity. I did it in Open Frameworks. Mm-hmm. But I like Unity. Unity's good to work with. The C# was pretty easy to pick up. Things worked together pretty nicely.
So one of the other reasons why we picked Unity was because it was very versatile in allowing us to get onto more platforms than just iOS, or at least to shorten the amount of time. So if there's any other touchscreen platforms, we'd definitely work on. So, we decided to make that decision as well, just to be more versatile in the future.
Do you think that your next title or your next game that you're going to work on, well, obviously depending on what it is, but If you're trying to aim for, you know, a variety of markets and ecosystems, do you think you would consider Unity again?
Oh, yeah. We're working in Unity right now for our current project.
Yeah. And in terms of, you know, how you work and how you can, I guess I want to talk a little bit about just how you concept a game and how you come to, you know, big ideas to actual implementation. Do you feel that, do you do a lot of prototyping? Do you work with a lot of scratch graphics? What is your process a little bit like when someone has this idea and you're trying to actually make it real?
I'm all about prototypes. I actually sort of try to stay away from large docs as long as possible. I'd rather just start coding something, see if it's fun, see what's fun about that, code it again, highlight what's fun, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't imagine games very effectively in my head. Like, I have an idea, like, oh, this would be really cool, and then I try it, and that's the only way I'll have any idea if it is.
Yeah, and I think that that's one of the big benefits of Andy's skill level, at least, is that, you know, usually when we come into this process of designing a game, we either have one or two big ideas that we really, you know, have in our head that we think would be really great, and we can, you know, brainstorm for a day or two or something like that, and then Andy can whip it up by the end of the week, maybe 2 weeks at most, and we can actually sit down and play with it and see whether or not we actually like it. Because, you know, I trust the amount of games that we've played over our entire lifetime to know what is or isn't fun. So that's kind of one of the other bases of designing games for us, is that if we're not going to play it ourselves, then how can we expect anyone else to?
So, I mean, that's a good question, though. Like, how do you know that a game is fun?
Well, yes, I keep playing it.
It also helps, you know, in New York City, at least, we have a lot of people that, you know how to play games or at least enjoy playing games. So we can call in a lot of our groups of friends or colleagues or, you know, other people within the industry to come in and test it with us or just give us, you know, their real perspective on it. They, you know, not hold anything back and say whether or not something's fun. And that's, I think, the key with any design process, is that you need as many outside perspectives as possible just to kind of make your game what it is.
Yeah, I think it helps that I'm shameless. I don't know about you as much. I just shove my game in front of people, whether they like it or not. It's a really good way to learn what's wrong with it.
I was out with a friend last night at a bar, and I saw a guy with a Windows tablet, and I just leaned over to him, and I said, buy Worm Run. I made that game. And he's like, Worm Run? Okay. And then he literally just types on the computer and pulls it up and buys it. And said, I have no shame. I need that dollar. But it's more about, you know, the sharing that experience, because I think that's why we're in this industry, is that we like playing games and we want to be able to share that experience with as many people as possible.
So what you guys said, you bring up, I think, two really good points. One is that you've got to be your own best PR machine, right? So if you're sitting beside someone and you say to them, I made that game, they're going to go and want to buy it because, you know, you're there in person and they know who you are. It's, you know, much more effective than, let's say, a tweet. Now, it's not like you're going to go around to everyone like, buy me, buy me, buy me. But, you know, it definitely makes that personal connection. But I think the other thing that you brought up is the idea of playtesting and getting feedback and doing it early and probably doing it very often. Do you feel like that's a process that you're always going to include in, you know, all of your game development in order to make sure that, you know, you're building something that's fun and entertaining and all those kind of things, and that you're watching people, you know, play them to make sure and validate what your ideas?
Yeah, I can't really make games without playtesting. Just like I said, I prototype all the time. Playtesting is so important. I just have notebook pages and notebook pages of notes of just watching people play. If I make a game, I know how, obviously, or I think it's fun or anything like that, or I think the challenge level is right, because I know this stuff, but if someone else is playing it, usually I'm horribly, horribly off there, at least on my initial guess.
Yeah, sometimes we're a little too good at our own games, since we play it so often, that we kind of gloss over a lot of stuff that, you know, the average player would just, you know, have problems with. And I think one of the other things with playtesting you always have to remember is that, you know, you have to go with some sort of, you know, goal in mind. It's like, you know, I'm pretty sure every time we've gone is that we know that the game hasn't worked 100% right, and there's something wrong with it, there's something we need to fix. So we'll go and we'll say, we're not 100% sure how to do this, let's open it up to the forum. And then, you know, you get 100 people right there willing to put in their input right at that second, and some of it might be helpful, some of it might not be, but, you know, you're more likely to get some really insightful comments from people you wouldn't expect, and it could change the game for the better in ways that you didn't even expect.
Yeah, even for non-game designers, just watching someone play the game and not saying anything when they get confused, it's like such like a big like arrow pointing to all the design flaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will look up and say, am I doing it right? What should I be doing? Like they're looking for instruction from us, but it's our job to convey that instruction without words because we're not going to be standing over their shoulder while they're playing.
Yeah, it's one of, and especially when someone's kind of talking their way through it,
yeah.
That's always the best because then you know that like they're trying to problem solve and you can kind of figure out, okay, this, you know, I need to change this or this is a problem or that's working or whatnot. It's the quiet ones you have to watch. So when it comes to Worm Run, you guys started, ported this, you know, did in Unity, but you also took advantage of some of the form factors that Windows offers in terms of input, right?
Totally, and, yes. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So one of the things that we originally had in mind with this is that, I'll just say, I don't like on-screen D-pads. I don't think they work super well. I think it's trying to map a medium that works super well onto something that doesn't have the same physical features, and as a result, it just doesn't. So we're really, I guess, form conscious in terms of our control schemes. We really like to think about the device we're on. So originally, this was touchscreen. So we wanted to make a platformer with controls that made sense for touchscreen. So it's all swipe-based. So if you're playing it on the Windows tablet and you don't have anything plugged in, you just swipe to move the character. I think it works pretty nicely. But one of the exciting things we went to Windows is that we still had this touchscreen device, but now it can plug a keyboard in, so we added keyboard controls in, which is kind of fun, is we could plug an Xbox controller in. It was actually super exciting playing the game with the controller the first time. It just felt so different.
Yeah, and I think that that's the key, is that when you're developing for a certain piece of hardware, you should know it and how to play with it, and you know how that's most likely how other people would play with it, because you just see things being fit into hardware that just doesn't really work sometimes, and people can tell whether or not they're gamers or not. It's just, it doesn't feel right sometimes. So just always be, I always say, just be a little bit more conscious of the hardware you're developing for.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that you guys give really good advice because people buy a gadget or they buy a tablet or they buy, you know, any of those things because, you know, for a specific reason, they're looking for something and it provides that. So you want to take advantage of whatever that may be, whatever, you know, if it's an Xbox controller or if, you know, it's a touch-based tablet or whatever it may be, like you just want to take advantage of those things. So I think that's good advice. Is there anything in terms of Worm Run and building Worm Run? We can get all nerdy on everyone here. I think all the tech people will probably like that. But is there anything like in terms of Worm Run code-wise that you're really, really proud of that, you know, helped you, you know, make this game something a little bit different?
Yeah. One thing that I was pretty pleased with is all of the levels in Worm Run are procedurally generated. So there's four main areas of the game. So the game gets harder as you go, but you're never going to run through the same path twice. It puts the whole thing together for the player in real time as they run through it. Which definitely took some doing, but I'm pretty pleased with how it came out.
Nice. I think I have one last question to kind of round this out. And it's, you know, when you're working on a game or any kind of a project, really, I think this applies to everything. It's kind of Pareto's principle, right? Like you get so much of it done in the first little chunk, and then it seems like so much work for so long goes in towards the end because you're trying to polish and perfect and, you know, do all those things. What kind of things do you feel in terms of making a game really brings it together, makes it a complete package? What are the little details that you think are really important?
I mean, I think we're still kind of going through this process of learning the best way to release games commercially. You know, we've only really been doing this as a full-time job for the last 2 years, so it's kind of it's still a learning process, I have to say, for sure. But when it comes to playing games, I think like we actually have an end goal usually when we're making a game as to when we really, you know, we have an idea in our head what it would be like. And so when we hit that goal, we kind of know at a certain point, like, okay, now we're just polishing. There's little things we can do. And you can obsess over that forever. You know, your game's never going to be 100% perfect. And sometimes the best test audience is the actual audience. You know, you send it out there and then you know, 1,000 people are like, well, why can't there be a mission system? And that was one of the big things we put in after our initial release on iOS. It's like, yeah, there should be a mission system in there. So we included that. And, you know, it's things like that. You just take every experience you had from your past game and apply it to the next one and apply it to the next one. Eventually you'll be a master at it, or, you know, really good at it, and tell people you're a master at it. But it's, you know, it's a case-by-case basis, really. It's you know your game better than anyone else, and you kind of have to let it go at the right time.
And sometimes do you feel like you just, you know, you got to say it's done, even when you don't feel like it's done?
Yeah, there's also the cost-benefit analysis of just like, okay, we need to release it now because we need to start making money. But, yeah, there's definitely a part where you're just like, it needs to go out now because we're just going to obsess over this.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the beauty of doing these kind of things is, you know, you can always update stuff. You can always add new features. You know, you can always figure out mechanisms for all that to handle it internally and figure that kind of stuff out. So it's important to, you know, get it out there more so than to completely obsess over every little detail. Because like you said, I think people could do that forever. I know people do. Yeah. So that's all I got for you guys, but, you know, thanks for joining us, and everyone out there, you should go and download Worm Run. It's really, really fun. You're this little miner guy. It's, like, totally underground. Sound effects great. Everything about it is awesome. So make sure you go and download it from the Windows Store, and thanks, guys, for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for talking with us.